Lord our God, we thank you again for this time of giving. We pray, Father, that what we offer unto you this morning will be acceptable in your sight. We pray that you would use this offering according to your will, your wisdom, and your purpose. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Before you take your seats, Diana Polk's birthday was yesterday, is that right? Happy birthday. Seated. Choir sings and we prepare our hearts for the priest's word.
Jesus, there's been a burning, such a burning deep down within.
Is easy.
yoke is easy. How many of you in the congregation remember that song, know that song? His yoke is easy. Why don't we just stand and sing that chorus again? Come on, come on.
Come on.
Singing. You may be seated. Lord our God, how thankful we are for mothers who have birthed us, those who have raised us in the love of God. We give you thanks for their contributions to society and their contributions to our personal and individual lives. For those who still walk among us, we bless your name. For those who rest beneath the grave, we give you thanks for their influence, for their compassion, for their love, for their parental guidance. And now we pray that you would honor us in the preaching of the gospel. Take me out of self and place me within your righteousness. Ordain me afresh for this preaching moment. Thank you again for your call in my life. And thank you that I had a good enough sense to say yes to the God of all creation. In the name of Christ, our Lord, we pray. And all the people of God who love God said amen. And those who were not afraid shouted hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I don't know if I finished my train of thought when I said I want to thank Reverend Thomas. Reverend Jackson and I, as you know, were out of the city. And when we got the call, from the chaplain at the hospital, who called us to say that Tanya Ellis had had a massive heart attack and the family was present, and if I or a clergy person could come. We called from Richmond to ask Reverend Thomas if he would make that trip and provide the ministerial service ministry that was needed. And when I called Candy, she said that Reverend Thomas had been there and that he had prayed with them. Would you help me thank him for that ministry? Now I stand between you and that Mother's Day's lunch that you have and that you will pay your tithes and offering to go to. And so I will not keep you long, but as much time as needed to convey the message. When you look at 1 Samuel, that first book of Samuel, you discover in that first and second chapter the story of the birth, the mother, the father of that great man of God called Samuel. In that 23rd through the 28th verse, you find... Somebody helping me, please? You find the conclusion of Hannah's promise and covenant with God. But if you'll allow me to read chapter 1, verses 8 through 11, you will discover the promise that Hannah made to God after suffering ridicule, after suffering from the hand of Peninnah, who was the other wife of Elkanah, you will discover what happened. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, verse 8, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not, and why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drank. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but would give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto thee all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And then skip, if you will, to that 23rd to the 28th verse. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, and 3 bullocks, 1 ephah of flour, and a bottle of wine, brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And he said, O my Lord. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him unto the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord, and he worship the Lord there. Look at your neighbor and say to your neighbor, neighbor, it's a good thing when your mother puts you in the hand of God. It's a good thing when your mother puts you into the hand of God. I have several lessons that my mother taught me, and I'd like to share them with you. She taught me that fear is not an option. The neighborhood in which we live was not a, it was not a good neighborhood. It was filled with crime. You could find pimps and prostitutes on almost every corner. And I would be afraid going through the streets, a street called Bear Street in Dallas. And she told me, Robert, walk with your head up. Show no fear. Walk as if you would whip the biggest bully on the street. Of course, I was a very small guy, very thin, only 5 feet eight, grew to 5 feet 11 and a half after I got to college. But I was fearful, and she taught me that fear is not an option. She taught me, pick up the slack. Be part of the solution. Don't be part of the problem. Do what you can. Be ready. Live as if today were the day. Keep the good stuff. Trash the rest. Then she taught me, choose to be unselfish and walk with integrity. Can you imagine a woman who is married to a great man, a man that has honor in the community and sits at the gates and worships his wife, Hannah, whom he loved? Can you imagine him saying to his family, we're going up to Shiloh to pray? That tells me that husbands need to be leaders in the religious experience of their family. We need to say to our wives and to our children, as did that great man of God, Joshua, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We need, as men, to take the responsibility for the religious life of our family. Wives, you ought to be shouting by now. We need to step up and be the men that God is calling for us to be. Takes his family up to Shiloh to pray. And while he's in Shiloh, we find that Hannah finds her way to the temple, finds her way to the house of prayer. Any good mother, any potential mother, will find their way to the house of prayer. She finds her way to the house of prayer. She has a great burden. Her womb has been shut up. She's barren. Her father, her husband, loves her. The Bible says that he loved her above his other wife. But as they are there, he gives a portion of his wealth, a portion of his care to his other wife. He comes to Hannah and he gives her a greater portion because of his love. That says something to me. If you love someone, you ought to share your resources. You ought to share what you have with them. The greater the love, the greater the sharing. The greater the love, the greater the compassion. The greater the love, the greater the forgiveness. The greater the love, the greater the grace. And so those of us who declare that we love, we ought to demonstrate our love, not just with words, but with action. She goes to the temple to pray with the gift of her husband. She goes. While there, she's praying. Eli, the priest, takes notice of her. Notice, the Bible says, that he's seated by a post, watching, looking over the congregation. The pastor, many times, I see you when you don't think I see you. I hear you when you don't think I hear you. Because it is a part of the pastor's responsibility, a part of his personality, to know the sheep of the fold, to know every congregant, to know every worshiper. I don't know how folk with 8,000 members know them, but I thank God for the few or for the number that I have. I may not know your last name. I may not know your first name, but I'm going to know where you're from. I'm going to know who your parents are. And so, Sebastian, you better always act right, because I know you. I know your family. I know the stock from which you have come. And so he sits there and he looks. But you may remember that Jesus was in the temple one day. There came a woman who came to worship, and she was bowed down. She had an infirmity that caused her not to look up but to look down. And the Bible says that Jesus was there and he looked and he saw her. Help me, somebody. Jesus sees the person with the most need, no matter what your needs are. He sees you and he addresses the need. Because she was praying, her lips were moving, but there was no sound. Can I help somebody here? You don't have to pray loud, and you don't have to pray long for God to hear your prayer. The Bible says that her lips were moving, but there was no sound. And the man of God thought that she was drunk. And so he scolded her. He said to her, You should not come to the house of God drunk. She said, I have not wine nor strong drink. Help me, somebody. Well, let me say something to you. If you come to church drunk, I will receive you. I'm just be glad you're here. Y'all missed it. Come as you are, whosoever will. God knows your heart. He knows your intent. And so don't say, I got to stay home till I sober up. If you come, the Holy Spirit will sober you up. If you come, the power of God will work in your life. Show up. God will do the work. We Baptists lack clean fish. Y'all missed it. We don't want to catch you in a sinful way and then clean you up. We want you to come already clean. But I'm grateful to God that I came to Jesus just as I was, weary, wounded, and sad, found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. There ought to be somebody here that was a stinky fish, and you came to church, and God cleaned you up. Now you can sing with power, pray with power, preach with authority, because you came. And so I invite you to come. If this is your day to come, come, come. She's there and she's praying. And the man of God accused her of being drunk. And she said, I have not strong drink. I'm not drunk. I am bitter of spirit. I'm tired of that other sister talking about me because I don't have a child. Because I have not been gifted with the gift of a child. And so I prayed to God that if you just bless me, if you just open up my womb, give me a male child, and I will return him back to you. I'll put him back in your hands. How many mothers in this congregation have prayed for their children and put them in God's hand? It's a mighty good hand to put your child. She made a promise to God. If you open up my womb, if you bless me with a child, a male child, I will return him back to you. I will put him back in your hands. Let me just share with you the three things that I think she really did. The first thing that she did was she put him in the prophet's hand. She positioned him for success. How many of us have been motivated and pushed and positioned
for success by our parents. How many of us are where we are today because mother said, baby, I don't care hell or high water, you gonna be a college graduate. You gonna finish high school. You're going to make this family proud. Share with the 8 o'clock congregation this morning that I didn't have the resources to go to college. I never thought that I would be able to go to college. I just wanted to graduate from high school. That was the norm in my community. If you graduated from high school, you had a PhD in streetology. Y'all missed it. You knew how to live on the streets. You knew how to get by. Mabel Chandler, counseling the school, saw potential in me, and said, Robert, do you want to go to school? I said, yes, ma'am. I want to go to college, but I don't have the money. And my mother didn't have the money. And my grandmother didn't have the money. And it's no way. She said, don't ever say it's no way. All things are possible with God, if only you believe. All things are possible with God, if only you trust him. All things are possible with God, if only you believe in him. She said, you walk around here talking about you a boy preacher. Don't you know the church doesn't need any ignorant preachers? Y'all missed that. I had my necklace around my neck, my gold chain, my Converse tennis shoes on, my Lee Riders jeans. I thought I was somebody. She said, you will never be anybody until you reach your highest, your fullest potential. You are college material. What's your phone number? Called my mother and said to my mother, Miss Verdeen, this boy is going to college. Mother told her, I don't have any money for him to go to college. She said, don't worry about the money. Just say yes to God. Don't worry about what's going on in your life. Just say yes to God. Say yes to the Creator. Say yes to the man of Galilee. Mother said, yes. It's all history now. College, Master of Divinity, Master of Arts, Doctor of Ministry. And thought I could not go. But guess what? Not only did Mabel Chandler pray for me, but my mother prayed for me that I would be successful. How can you make it with $200? That's all my mother gave me. And she gave me that $200 when I left home and said, don't come back. Don't call back until you graduate. What about Thanksgiving dinner with the family? Don't come back until you graduate. What about Christmas? Find one of your classmates. Go home with them for Christmas. What about Mother's Day? It'll come next year. Don't come home. And guess what? I didn't go home. Thanksgiving, I went to Buna, Texas with Edward Haddonott. Christmas, Douglas Spencer took me to Wichita Falls, Texas. I didn't go home. But when I got ready to graduate, I'm telling my testimony. I'm telling about how I was motivated by a mother and by a counselor. When the neighborhood said, you're not going to make it, you're not going to be anybody, just chill out. When I graduated, I had a girl who had a good penmanship. She wrote out 5 invitations. One to my mother, one to my grandmother, one to my grandfather on the Jemison side, and one to my grandmother on the Jemison side, and one to my pastor. I walked across the stage, head high, graduating Bachelor of Arts in Religion and Philosophy and a minor in History. Head up, until I heard that voice. Lord, thank you for my baby. Thank you for Robert. Thank you for him graduating. Thank you, Jesus. I was so embarrassed, I didn't know what to do. There she was, at the end of the stage, with her arms open. I wanted to walk past her. Matter of fact, I tried, and she grabbed me and pulled me back and said, "You my baby, you made it." Is there anybody here that was motivated by mother? Hannah prayed that God would give her a child. And she positioned that child for success by taking him to the Lord's house and giving the child to God. She positioned him for success. She motivated him. And then she helped him to fulfill his purpose in life. His purpose in life was to be a prophet for Elohim, to be a prophet for Yahweh, to be a prophet for the God who made us in his image and in his likeness. In the temple, he had to minister to Eli. The Bible says that Eli was old and tired. He went to sleep, and Samuel heard a voice calling his name, Samuel. The name Samuel means asked of God. And because he had been asked of God and put in the house to serve God, yet he did not know God's voice, called him Samuel. The Bible says he gets up and he wakes up the old preacher and said, "Here am I. Did you call?" "No, I did not call you." "Second time." "No, I did not call you." The third time, Samuel had given him wonderful instruction by saying, "The next time you hear the voice, say, 'Here, my Lord. Here am I.'" It's God talking to you. God has been speaking to many of us many times, and we have ignored his voice because we did not hear his voice. But thanks be to God, we have been positioned to hear the voice of God. "Here am I. Lord, here am I." You remember the man of God, Isaiah, who said, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I heard the voice of angels declaring, 'Glory, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.' And I looked at myself, and I saw myself. I saw the sin in my life. I saw the wickedness in my life. I saw the iniquities in my life. But when the angel came down and took a live coal from the altar and put it on my lips and said, 'This has touched your lips. Your iniquities are taken away and your sins are taken away and your iniquities are purged.' Then I heard a voice, the voice of God saying, 'Who will go for us and whom shall I send?' Then said I, 'Here am I, send me.'" Been motivated by a woman who loved God, who prayed, been positioned where success would be available to me. And now I'm about the Lord's work. It ought to be somebody here whose mother prayed for you, who positioned you for success. And now you are successful, and God is saying to you, you have almost reached your full potential. Your full potential will come when you acknowledge that I am the Lord of Lords and that I am the King of Kings. Your full potential will come when you learn to sing praises to God, to give honor to God, to worship God in the beauty of holiness, that's when you reach your full potential. When you come to know the I am that I am. When you work for the master. Got a call the other day from a politician. Said, Reverend Jemison, I want you to endorse me. I'm running for this particular office, and I need the endorsement of one of God's chosen servants in San Antonio, one who has done marvelous things on the east side. I want to say, boy, if you don't shut up, I hear you sugarcoating me. I hear you sliding. He said, what would it cost for you to endorse me? He messed up then. When he said, what would it cost? I want to say, I need $2 million to pay off this debt. I said, man, I am here for one purpose, and that is to endorse the work of the church and the work of God. That's what I'm here for. I'm not here to be in the pocket of any politician. I'm here to lead the people in the praise of the Almighty God. And then he shook me. He said, don't you think that people who have no housing need someone of stature to speak on their behalf? Y'all missed it? Don't you think that the children of the east side need a place to live, a place to play, a place to grow and enhance their own being? Don't you think that you can make a difference? I said, oh my God, I want to call him another name. I said to him, can I do that without marching on your behalf? Can I be a soldier of the cross and bear the cross, the bloodstained banner? Can I do that from Second Baptist? He laughed. He said, you can preach the word in the church, but you got to live the word outside the church. Is there anybody here that has been called by God and you refuse to go because of your imagination of who you are? God is saying today to Second Baptist, there are children that need housing. There are children that need clothes. There are mothers who have prayed for a way to be made for their children to escape. And if the church does not provide the avenue, then guess what? The walls of prisons will increase. And we will find our children in prison. And if not in prison, we'll find them on the streets of San Antonio with habits. I want to give our young people a habit of praising God, of worshiping God, glorifying God, and honoring God. Want to provide a place for them to come, to recreate, to be recreated. Second Baptist, we need to put our children in the hand of God. We need to motivate them. We need to position them. We need to lead them and show them how they can reach their highest potential. If the church does not do it, who will? If we do not honor God, who will? I close with this. When I graduated from seminary, I served a church, Dr. Thurston, two Sunday a month church, second and fourth Sunday. They only paid me $37.50 a Sunday, so it's $75 a month. So you knew I could, you know I couldn't save enough money to bring my mother up. But God put a person in my life who had a little money. And she said to me, "Robert, your mother coming?" I said, "No, I don't have no money. She doesn't have any money." She said, "You know what? You don't know me well, but if you tell me that she's coming, I will pay for her travel, and I'll pay for her hotel room, and she can order 3 meals a day at the hotel." I said to myself, "Now, you ain't going to trick me by telling me what all you're going to do for my mother." So I told them what my mother's name was and address and everything. On the day before graduation, I get this phone call that said, "You need to go to the airport, and your mother and your sister will be there at the airport." I said, "What?" I get to the airport, and there's mother, and she winks her eye. This person didn't even come to the graduation. She had made her contribution. She had used her resources to bless me, to bless my family. There are other people in this congregation. They can tell you the same story, that somebody helped them. Somebody helped them. And because somebody helped them, they are where they are today. Because somebody helped them, put them in the hands of God. Can you imagine Mary standing at the cross of Christ on that Friday, looking up at her son, listening to him say, "Woman, behold thy son." To his disciple he loved, "Behold thy mother." Close his eyes in death, placed in the grave. But guess what? Before he died, he said, "Father, unto thy hands I commend my spirit." Is there anybody here that want to put themselves, their spirit, their loved one in the hands of God? If you put your loved one in the hands of God, he will raise them from on the third day morning. He got up with all power in heaven and earth in his hands because he put his hands, he put his life in the hands of the Almighty God. God will make a way. That's all your preacher trying to tell you. If you put your child in God's hand, he'll make a way for you. The only thing about that airfare that the person provided is it was a one-way ticket. Y'all missed it. It was a one-way ticket. So I asked my mother, I said, "How you getting back home?" She said, "I'm riding with you. You can come home now." Is there anybody here that want to go home? Christ has a one-way ticket for you, and that is to the kingdom of God. You can live eternally with him. Our deacons are coming. Put your hands in the hands of the Master. He makes a difference. Church is standing, choir singing. Come on, come on, we're begging you, come.
While you have time,
come
unto Jesus, make up your
Come on, church. Good to see those of you who have been away living in other cities who've come to worship with us today. Mary Malvo, we've been praying for you. Where are you? Good to see you. Thank you for being here. Praying for you. I understand that one of your sons is here too. Come, we welcome you. Thaddeus, it's good to see you in worship today. Thank you for being with your mother, Mrs. Cron. And now, our God, we give you thanks for this day and for this hour. We come now to place ourselves and our children in your hands, promising that because you have blessed us, we bless the people of God and the Church of Christ with our service and our commitment to spiritual excellence. Thank you this day for the honoring of Mrs. Pope. We bless your name for the Martin Luther King Service Guild. Pray your blessings upon their president, our president, Candy Ellis Davis. We pray that you would restore unto her the joy of her salvation. Bless now. Thank you for positioning each one of us for success. Thank you, our God, for hearing the prayers of those who prayed for us. And now dismiss us with your grace and with your mercy, with your power. So we pray, bless us and keep us. Make your face to shine upon us. Be gracious unto us. Lift your countenance upon us. And give us your grace. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Go enjoy what lunch is left.